God's been speaking to us about some of the keys for this church that will help to release God's presence. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about honor and a culture of honor. And another of the things that God's spoken to us about is that sense of unity, of one, of body, of us grasping that, and that being a crucial part of seeing more of his kingdom here. So if you have a Bible, would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We'll be looking at verses 12 to 27, but we'll be bouncing around a bit. So if you have a Bible, then just have that on hand so you can check up on me. Suffice it to say that the pervading atmosphere of our culture is one of rugged individualism. The country, to some degree, was founded on that. People who had to fight for their very existence. And out of that comes the belief which has grown of that a person's own needs come first, over and above anything else. So our culture is shaped by independence, self-sufficiency, and freedom. Of course, most people care about others. Of course, there is a sense of responsibility and there are relationship bonds, but individualism affects our culture and so affects us. Three of those areas are independence, that tendency to think of ourselves as independent or separate from anyone else. We are our own person. Secondly, self-sufficiency. We can make it on our own. And in fact, needing others is a sign of weakness. We must stand on our own two feet. And that third thing, freedom. We are free from responsibility to others. Our main responsibility is to ourselves. And we don't have obligations to anyone else. Graham Bainan wrote a book, God's New Community, and he says this: God doesn't believe in individualism. In fact, God's own being is made up of community. His own being is made up of three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And God meant for us to live in similar community with each other. Of course, we're individuals, and we have our unique personalities and characters, but we were designed to live in community with him and with each other. Now, we looked at this passage probably about 2.5 years ago, and so some of this may be familiar, but most of you haven't got that long a memory. Some of you weren't here, and some of you weren't listening. So that probably cuts it down to about 5 people. So I'm sorry to you. And this is clearly something God wants us to return to. So let's have a think about the body. First of all, the body and unity. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. 2 verses and one is mentioned 5 times. One Spirit has made us one body, no matter how different we might be. So we're like different organs and limbs of a body. So the connection and the link between different members of one church, Paul is saying, is as strong as the link between your arm and your hand, between your leg and your foot. Now, we've all heard this teaching on the body, and we all agree with it, except that we don't. And that's the essence of what needs to happen today. We believe this, but it's not how we think. We tend to think more like we are connected because we all have a relationship with God. So it's a bit like being polite to someone because you have friends in common. It's a bit like being part of the tennis club. So you're nice to each other, but you're not one. We belong to the same club, so we make a bit of an effort. So we talk about being united, but we feel independent. And there's a special danger in the bigger church setting, though it's perhaps less so in our small groups. So when God talks about repentance and transformation of the mind, he's talking about changing the way we think. And this comes with the body. We need to make a conscious effort, which the Holy Spirit will inspire, to not think of ourselves as independent. And a conscious effort to think of ourselves as one. If one part suffers, verse 26 says, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, let's imagine I'm laying a back patio, which is never going to happen. But let's imagine. And I've got a slab. Not a slab. Trust Harry to think of that. Of concrete. I'm not wearing any gloves because my brain hasn't told my hands to wear any gloves because it's stupid. And it starts to hurt my hand, so I drop it and I drop it on my foot. And it hurts. And as I bend down to take it off my foot, my other foot stamps on the hand for being so stupid as to drop it. And my other hand slaps my head for not thinking of gloves. It's ludicrous, isn't it? It's a ludicrous picture, though it sometimes happens. It's a ludicrous picture. And it's the same in the body of Christ. One of the things that we're tremendous at is beating up our own body when stuff goes wrong. What hurts and affects a part of the body affects the whole body. And healing and helping part of the body helps the whole body. So for us to react out of anger to each other brings more hurt. And more hurt, and more hurt. And no one can come in here and say, what I do doesn't affect you, because it does, whether we like it or not. What you do affects me, and what I do affects you. If you live in a life of unrepentant sin, it will affect the church. If you are on fire for God, it will affect the church. You will affect me, I will affect you. And part of understanding body is to think of ourselves as so connected with everyone else that there's a sense in which what happens to them happens to you. So, if you see someone stuffing up, you don't walk away and go, well, it's nothing to do with me, because it will affect you. It will affect you, one, because you love and you suffer with, and it will affect you because what other people do has a consequence. That's wider on the body. Stuff happens. We're united, so I am concerned. I suffer. I rejoice. Secondly, the body and diversity. Now, you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. I always get that wrong, so I draw attention to it. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in glossalia? Do all interpret? That's tongues, by the way. But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Bodies that are missing parts, bodies that are made of all eyes or ears or hands, are the stuff of science fiction or horror. The body functions brilliantly as its diverse components work together. Now, our differences in natural and supernatural gifting, in nature and temperament, all help the church to function effectively in a rounded and balanced way. We were designed to be diverse and different, and we are the stronger because of it. And it's important for us to celebrate our differences, our different attributes, our different gifts. It's important for us never to look down on someone simply for doing it differently or being different. Vineyard, the greatest danger is not that we will look down on someone who's dressed a bit scruffily coming into church, but we'll look down on someone who wears a suit. And they will be ostracized. It's important not to create an environment where we end up being like clones who look and sound and behave identically. Not to force others into our way of doing and being, so that the church is a rich expression of diversity and the richer for its variety. What about the body and being interdependent? When people have lost, say, a limb, or they're not able to speak, or they're not able to hear, we speak of a sense of incompleteness. We are praying into that this morning with Jacob. And in the same way, the Bible is saying we are incomplete without each other. We need each other and are incomplete without each other. The contribution of each person is significant, and what we do affects everyone else. Now, we know that teaching, but largely, you can tell from the way the church functions that we don't believe it. And when we don't understand it or don't believe it, it tends to affect us in two ways. One is a way that we express, the other is a way that we don't. The first is we feel inferior. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. We feel inferior. I don't fit. I haven't got anything useful to bring. The gifts I've got are of little or no value here. Now that gets expressed a lot. And that's one of the lies that Satan speaks into us to render us ineffective. The second we don't express, and that is that we feel superior. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. People tend to think but not say, because they know it's naughty. "There's no point going to church anymore or home group. I never learn anything. You know, what's the point? The gifts I've got are sufficient, or the gift that I and my friends have got. We don't need anyone else. We'll stick together in our little club of people we like and who fit with us." And people think like that in churches all over the world. But the Bible reminds us that though we may feel that and think that, it's a lie. No one can say I'm not needed. No one can say I don't need anyone else. God designed the church so the gifts we have are needed and that we need the gifts of others. And even if we believe that, we tend to limit the people and the gifts we need. We need these people. Definitely don't need those people. We need these gifts. We definitely don't need those gifts. How many times has God helped us through people we thought we were helping? And if it's never, you've got some serious work to do. How many times has God spoken to us in ways and through people we wouldn't have chosen? We need each other. And part of understanding that is to take a look around the church on a regular basis, not to stick to your own table, and even now to look around and say, we need these people. Each person here, if God draws him to be part of this church, him or her has a unique contribution to make. Now, in the body, you may well be drawn towards being a hand or an eye or an ear or a mouth and tend to avoid being a heart, a liver, a lung, a bladder, especially a sweat gland. But actually, we can lose an eye and we can function. We're in trouble without our heart. Do you know, in America, a few years ago, there was an attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. I don't know if you remember. And he was shot. He was the most powerful world man probably in our world at that time. He was shot and the country carried on as usual. A couple of weeks later, there was a strike of garbage collectors and the country was brought to its knees. Go, Paul. In the church, people are drawn towards teaching, preaching, prophecy, healing, worship, not so much serving, encouraging, and administration, but how much trouble we're in without those gifts. In the body of Christ, we're all needed, and we all need each other. What about the body and responsibility? Romans 12, verse 4 says this, "Just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. Teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." What do you do in the church? You might automatically think of your rosters or your job title. I teach the kids. I do setup. I'm a home group leader. I'm an elder. I'm a worship leader. I'm on the welcome team. I do the coffee. If you're not involved in those ways, you may think you do nothing. You may think you have no responsibility. But some gifts can't be organized like that. We have no encouragement team for the church. Couldn't find anyone to go on that one. But we need that gift. Strangely, no one's volunteered for the generous giving team either. No one's ever come to us and goes, "My gift is giving lots of money. Where can I give?" But that's one of the key gifts. We don't have a showing mercy team either. We have few people who want to join the telling people a thing or two team, but we don't have the showing mercy team. Focusing on roles and rosters in the church can make us feel inadequate, or can make us feel that we're doing our bit because we're on a roster. But our responsibilities as part of the body can't be pinned down to rosters any more than we can do that in our family. If you're a husband and you've said, "I've done the bins, I've walked the dog, I've washed up, therefore I have fulfilled my responsibilities as a husband and father," you're in deep doo-doo. Is there anyone who said that? I don't think he voluntarily raised his hand there, no. We have a responsibility to use our specific gifts, and we have a unique contribution to make, but we also have mutual responsibilities. The one another's that we read about in the New Testament. Building each other up, instructing each other, serving each other, being concerned about each other, carrying each other's burdens, teaching and admonishing each other, offering hospitality, encouraging each other, spurring each other on. It's all in the Bible. It's all mutual. And we have a responsibility to do these things for each other. It's on all our rosters. And if those things were not on your roster, if you consider yourself part of this church, I am putting them on your roster today. And mine too. Is that okay? Again, four people nodded, and it's on all our rosters, folks. Individualism says the only person we're responsible for is ourselves and maybe our family. And when people are struggling, we may well say, somebody ought to do something, but we don't mean us. But that's not how the body was designed to work. It's not a few specialists working through a mass of needs. We're body. We care for each other. It's on every roster. The voice in our head goes, keep moving. Don't get involved. They look upset. Don't look. That's what the voice in our head says. Got enough already. Got enough already. Hi. Bye. I don't know them. I'm busy. Others can do better. We need to learn to listen to the voice that says, I am united with this person. I have a responsibility for them. I'm going to get involved. What about the body and authority? Verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all, in all things grow up unto him who is the head. That is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Before I went into full-time ministry, I was a teacher. I had some major nerve problems with my back, which would sometimes show it while I was teaching, because I'd be teaching, just having a great time going, and suddenly I'd just go like that, because my legs would give way. It wasn't really good for discipline. So I learned during these times to have a desk in front of me, so I was just, I could... And what was happening is that there was a disconnect between the signals from my brain going to my legs because of trapped nerves. And when members of the body don't obey the head, then the body doesn't function properly. The head is Jesus. And unlike my body, the head of the church functions perfectly. So the context for the church functioning well is that all of the members of the body obey the head. The body works when each of us obey Jesus and submit to his authority. And again, individualism says, nobody tells me what to do. It's nobody's business. But the truth is that your sin and my sin and disobedience affects each other. Our lives are linked in ways that it's difficult to understand. It's a mystery, but it's a truth. And obeying Jesus isn't just a personal thing. If we want to be the best for each other and the best for the church, it's not just about being loving and encouraging, but it's about being obedient and submitting to Jesus as Lord. And if we do that, our church is released in power and witness, and so are we. And I believe that's a challenge for someone today. There's that sense still that you can be part of the church and do as you please. And God's calling you out on that. He's calling you back to him, to holy living. In some places in the United States, you can go to a drive-in church. It's amazing, isn't it? They've got drive-in everything, and they have drive-in churches. You can sit in the car, you can tune in the radio, you can sing, you can pray, you can listen to the sermon, you can go home challenged and encouraged without the hassle of engaging with anyone else. At very best, you can wave to them through the window. And some of us are thinking, that is terrible. And some are thinking, that is great. But we can end up having a similar mentality in our own churches. We arrive, we partake, we leave, we maybe even avoid people so that we don't have to engage with them. Some years ago, when we were trying to train our first feral dog, we were engaged in that training process with Judy, because we thought we'd train her as well. No, because she had a dog as well. And during the introduction stuff, this lady, and people doing presentations have got very those sort of voices. She was saying, you will notice as we're involved in the training process, Aussie version of this, that there are some dogs wearing yellow bandanas. Now, these dogs, at the moment, feel a little bit more comfortable not being so close to other dogs. And so we would just advise you to just give them some space. The yellow bandana says they're not so comfortable being with the other dogs. In other words, they're wild and mad. And we wondered, we were talking to Judy, who was having a bit of a, it was full on for her, and she was wondering whether she might be allowed to wear a yellow bandana at church. And we took this on a step further, that maybe we could have a box of yellow bandanas, and people who were struggling that week could just pop them on, and people could just stay a little bit away from them, because they'd be a lot more comfortable in their own space. Now, there are special days when perhaps we do need to wear a yellow bandana, but none of us have the right to wear one permanently if we're part of the body. And Sundays, there are a few people in leading, teaching, praying, working with the kids, and for these big meetings, they have a good part to play, but some people think that that's what church is all about. And I believe that if all you do is come on a Sunday, your experience of church is defective and limited. We need to be involved, relating, interfacing with each other to have places where we can receive and give. And of course, home groups or little churches is a fantastic place to do that. But if we don't see ourselves as one, we'll take them or leave them. Small groups, cell groups, home groups, call them what you will. But also that connection, week in, week out, of knowing that we belong to each other and we care for each other and we reach out to each other. When Queen Victoria was a child, she didn't know that she was in line for the throne of England. And her instructors tried to prepare her for the future, but they could never motivate her. She didn't take her studies seriously. She was naughty. And finally, they decided to tell her that one day she would become the Queen of England. Upon which she quietly said, "Then I will be good." The realization that she had inherited this high calling gave her a sense of responsibility that profoundly affected her from then on. Some of us don't understand that we are part of the body of Christ. And so we don't take our studies seriously. And we're naughty. Understanding who we are in Christ and who we are as part of the body of Christ and what that means can't fail to have an impact on the way we live. We're members of the body of which Christ is the head. We need to take on board the truth that we are one. To make a commitment to find our place and play our part. Now, unity in the body is a miracle and it's a mystery. It's amazing that wherever you end up as part of a church, anywhere in the world, God's designed it so that you will need other people there and they will need you. That's a miracle and it's a mystery. He's made it work so there are enough natural and supernatural gifts to go around as everyone takes their place. So the revelation that I might have had when I'm not there, it doesn't mean it won't be had. Because someone else will have it. And if God wants to heal and the usual suspects aren't here, then he'll use someone else to heal. Who's willing? Who's available? And I just want to finish with a few bullet points to let it sink in. The first is there's a difference between union and unity. In one, you are joined. In the other, you are one. We're not just joined. We are one. Do you believe that? It's a miracle. It's a mystery. We need to believe it and live out of that belief. Because even if you don't believe it, it's true. and ignoring it makes it different. It's not about independence. It's not about dependence. It's about interdependence. We are all part of the jigsaw. Just one story. I don't want to mention any names, but on one of the recent times that we've had a meeting together, someone had a word for someone else. So that's the first bit. So they thought, I need to act on that. Because if God said that's going to happen, they need to be here. So they phoned them and asked them to come to a meeting. This is people who haven't been to a meeting for a long, long time. They responded by saying yes. When they came, it was actually one of the evenings, and Ilona was doing a painting. When they saw that painting, they knew that that was them. And then Ilona, scared, had a word. And she brought it. It was from Scripture. She knew it was for someone. It was connected to the painting. That person responded immediately. Someone else was sitting two chairs away from them because they knew they were in need and they were determined they were going to be there to pray for them. And the jigsaw fitted together. If the first person hadn't bothered, if Ilona hadn't listened to God to do the painting, if she hadn't overcome her fear to bring the word, if the other person hadn't been concerned enough to be sitting there ready to pray. Do you get what I'm saying? We need each other. It's part of the jigsaw. And then it's fantastic and it's exciting. We all have something to receive in the body of Christ. Are you receptive? We all have something to give. Are you willing to give? And do you believe you've got something to give? You're allowed to not know what it is, but you're not allowed to not believe. It's illegal. We are stronger together than we are apart. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? God wants this body to grow in health and strength. He's given us everything we need. And as we tune into the signals from the head, the possibilities are limitless. So let's play our part to create a culture of unity in the way we think and in the way we act towards others, in the way we think about ourselves and our roles, in what we believe. Bill Johnson's got a lovely phrase when people are talking about something going on in their lives. He says, show me the fruit. Show me the fruit. So someone said, yes, I forgave them years ago. Show me the fruit. And they go, there isn't any. Maybe you haven't forgiven them then. Or, show me the fruit. I've done this and this and this. Oh, that's really exciting. So when it comes to unity, and you want to think this week about whether you understand unity and the body, ask if you can see the fruit in yourself. Imagine there's someone going to you, show me the fruit. Show me the fruit. And where the fruit isn't there, then walk in the opposite spirit of the stuff that takes you away from unity. If it's your weakness that you disengage, choose to engage. If it's your weakness that you think of yourself as inferior, then ask God to help you to deal with that lie and be prepared to bring whatever you've got. If you know that there's this sneaky bit of you that thinks that you are actually a little bit above it, then get on your knees and repent of that and ask God to give you a gentle and a tender heart rather than you needing to be broken, because being broken is not so much fun. I believe that if we walk understanding a culture of honor and we walk understanding a culture of unity, we are going to become an amazing church that God will bless. But we need to make an individual response about being one. And I can't do that for you. I can only do it for me. But I need you, because I'll be a better man if you do that. And if I'm a better man and a better pastor, that's better for you. Yeah? That's basically my wife saying, whatever happens, it's all your fault. No, we join together in responsibility. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a word that brings life and it brings light. We thank you that you have made us one. And we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to understand what that means for each one of us. Help us to understand where we have become independent and we shouldn't be. Help us to understand where we feel inferior and we shouldn't, or we feel superior and we shouldn't. Help us to understand where we've lost sight of the riches of the diversity of the body of Christ. And we ask, Lord, as Jesus prayed, that you will make us one, even as he and you are one. That you'll bring us more and more together. That all of those pieces of the jigsaw will fit together. And we'll get more and more exciting stories of what you're doing as we understand that we're body. Lord, make us one, we pray. Help us, each one of us, this week to look for the fruit of that and to walk towards it. And we ask too, Lord, that as we think of what is on every single roster, that we'll put it on our roster. And we won't leave ourselves out of any process that actually makes the body weaker, and so us weaker. Just apply your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.